Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Was young. But as I got older, I thought it was important to acknowledge this other side of my heritage. And so I was called Borat.
Hold on. His name is Borat? It's Borat Obama? I thought it was Barry Burr. Well, anyway, we know that Debbie did Dallas a number of decades ago, and now we have Barry doing Boca. That's right. Barry does Boca. In case you don't know why we're playing the music that we played, it's because Barry, Barack, Borat, whatever, Obama is now in Boca Raton. I was there a while ago, appeasing Jews, trying to sell them on his credentials, even though Louis Farrakhan was his best friend for many years and Reverend Wright, the America hater. He's now suddenly a Lanzmann, a friend of the Jews. It's amazing to me. Look, I know that politics consists of BSing as many people as you possibly can, but there has to be a limitation. Shouldn't there be a limit to where a guy will go and what he'll say? You actually believe Barack Obama should have been in a synagogue in Boca Raton today, basically humiliating himself like this? And by the way, you know, it's an embarrassing question for me to ask. Why are a few thousand Jewish people in Century Village so important? Most of them in Century Village are poor. They don't give a dime to charity. They're old. They're living on Social Security. They'd have no real – their vote's no more important than your vote, my vote. What is this? What is this all about? Explain to me. It's not 1959 with the UJA in Brooklyn, New York. Why do they have to appeal to these people? They're diehard Democrats. They're psychopathic liberals, most of them. They're nice people by and large, if not a little gossipy. They're good people. They're traumatized fundamentally by the Holocaust, and that's their whole frame of reference is the Holocaust. Now, there's nobody else in America in the media other than me who was right on the polygamous sect raid. I called it Nazism. You know, you ought to give me a little credit. I know that I'm called every name under the sun, but from now on, just call me Solomon. I was the only one in radio who stood up for the polygamous cult, mothers and children, because I said it violated our Constitution. And not only that, not only did a court today, a state appeals court, throw the case out, but I'm not going to rest until the Child Protective Services Nazis are thrown in jail. It's not good enough that they did this to the children and now they were found to be wrong. Not only do I want to see the state of Texas broken over the knee of the polygamous cult, I'd like to see them take the entire state to court and break the state's treasury for what they did. Because if they can get away with it with these people, they can do it to you tomorrow. Next, I'd like to see the mean-faced, clipped-haired feminists who run Child Protective Services being taken out in handcuffs, along with the cops who stood there in body armor with machine guns and APCs taking these poor children away from their mothers. I'd like to see the cops stripped of them of their jobs and their pensions for doing this. I was the only one who stood with them, not because I'm a polygamist, but because I'm a constitutionalist. Did the leprechaun stand with them? No, he attacked them. Did Limblow stand with them? I don't even think he knows what happened. No, I did. And it's important you understand that. Now, let's go back to the klezmer music for a minute so I can relax in the Savage Nation. Let's play the music. Oi! Oh! Teddy is dancing in the studio. Teddy is dancing on all twos right now. A 10-pound poodle on his hind legs dancing, shaking his front arms back and forth like a meerkat. He loves music. Oy. So here we are. Now, Barack Obama, a friend of Louis Farrakhan, is in the Daniel in the Lion's Den, so to speak. It's not Debbie doing Dallas, it's Barry doing Boca, which is amazing to me. Now, we have a clip that'll make you puke. Here's clip 27. This will make you squirm. Listen to this one.
What's your name?
Jack Pector.
Good to see you, Jack.
You and I are Lunsmen. You know what that means?
Go ahead.
We're brothers.
You and me.
Please.
So let me explain the following.
Get him off. Please, get the brown soap. Oh, God. You and I are Lunsmen. Don't worry about it. Oh, God. How awful what you have to do to be president. It isn't worth it to me. Ooh. You know what that means? We're brothers. Why are they pandering to a bunch of old people on Social Security in Century Village? They're nice people. They're harmless. I know that. But they're not more important than other people. Or are they? Why did they become more important? I don't get it. They don't have more weight anymore. You know, I know this story inside and out. I know it better than most of you know it. The bigger news is not that Barry does Boca. Boca's a very nice place, by the way, if you like large cockroaches and early bird dinner goers who go in. You got to see these people, the Century Village crowd. When they go out for an early bird dinner, to them, when you say early bird dinner to people in this retirement community, and it's massive, by the way, to them, an early bird dinner is 1 in the afternoon because they're asleep by 3. So if they're going to go out and pay $4.99 for a dinner, a buffet, all you can eat, you can be sure they're going to wear a winter coat with deep inner pockets. What they take home in that jacket could feed a Somali village. The salts, the peppers, the butter, the mayo in the packages, the mustard in case company comes next year. Pickles they put whole. Well, they bring baggies today, I understand. They don't want to ruin the mink. But I've seen them. They go into the they'll go in on a hot day with a mink coat from Queens from the 50s with baggies inside of it. Specially sewn pockets so they could take home, you know, it's all you can eat after all. Whoa. So this is what Barack Obama has to put up with today, pandering to the Jewish population of Boca Raton. Yuck. Play it again, Sam. Play just once. I'm going to just keep doing it. I want to relax a little bit. It's Memorial Day weekend. No one cares about anything anymore. You know, I don't even like this music. I actually detest it because it's the music of the diaspora. It is not really Jewish music. What it is the music of defeat and pacifism. Real Jewish music would be the Israeli national anthem. But I don't, you know, it's very hard for me to even explain this to you. But what passes for what Judaism is in the popular culture is nauseating. I mean, Woody Allen passes for a Jew when he's mocked rabbis and Jews his entire life. Woody Allen is the step and fetch it of the Jewish people. Stephen Fetchett was a black actor in the 40s who made a mockery of a black man. Yes, boss. Yes, sir. And everyone laughed at the black man as portrayed, the fake image of the black man as portrayed by Stephen Fetchett. They really approved of him. The same with Woody Allen, you know, a self-hating Jew who has gone very far by mocking his own people. The same with Seinfeld. Why do you think he was so popular throughout America? Because, again, it was a weakling, self-hating Jew. There's a big money in any ethnic group that makes a mockery of themselves. You understand how popular culture works. So, anyway, the biggest story is that I was right. Now, it's not so much that I was right. It's that at least you have somebody in the media who knew that when the Texas Nazis broke into that church and stole the children from their beautiful, sacred, clean mothers in the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and they took those poor little babies out of their arms and those thugs, the Texas Rangers, wearing body armor, holding machine guns, coming in APCs to an unarmed church. When they did that, I said, we're living in Nazi Germany. I couldn't believe they were getting away with it. I covered it. Nobody else in the media, in the top tier of the media, saw it the way it really was, which is a violation of constitutionality in this country. And I did, and I'm very proud that I did. And that's why I say it's a beautiful victory for all of us today. It's a ruling today that came out not long ago that will torpedo the case against the West Texas polygamist sect. And I will tell you, I will not rest until the women of the Child Protective Services, which is really Child Harmful Services, it's not CPS, it's CHS, until the mean-faced, clip-haired male haters in CPS are in handcuffs, I will not stop talking about it. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Walked the red carpet over the weekend for his latest romantic comedy, Vicky Cristina Barcelona. The film is about a threesome with two women. Has Alan himself ever entertained the notion?
You know, it's hard enough to get one person. The characters in this movie are able to, the chemistry was right, and they're able to handle that situation. In real life, most people could not survive that kind of situation.
He's ready for Century Village. He can make home movies with a video camera. So you want a threesome? Disgusting. He always turned my stomach. Self-deprecating Jew. Oh, I'm sorry, thinking to myself you're in the Savage Nation. Okay, was an old perv like him making a movie about a threesome like that's exciting? In the year 2008, that's a movie worth going to? Ooh, how exciting. Woody Allen's new movie. Ooh, a threesome. How exciting. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, how disgusting. Some of the bright minds, some of the brightest minds of our generation are so perverted mentally, it's frightening. Think about what this guy could do if he turned his mind to doing something that's uplifting for the human race instead of a degenerate movie about a threesome. And it's not even exciting. I can guarantee you it's garbage. But that's what I'm talking about here, because Obama did Boca today. He went to the crowd down there. All right, 1-800-449-8255. Time is short. The talk is long. Let's go to the callers. In New York City, Steve is awaiting us on WOR. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, Michael, I didn't really care about or think about this case at all until you really started talking about it, you know? You brought it.
Wait. You were talking now about the seizure of the children by the Texas Nazis from the polygamous cult. So when you heard me explain why it was unconstitutional, it dawned on you, right?
Oh, yeah, you know what it is? You just figured, oh, they were up to no good. And then you start really thinking about the case. And when you opened my eyes, because you know how it is, the media, they just sort of tell you what.
Well, we played a montage of the media. Child rape, child sex, child rape, child sex, sex, children with sex, sex, children in the church, a bed in the church. I would take these media out. I'd keelhaul them, those lying women, those lying men, those perverts. They're the ones who did it to the people. The media is why this country's in trouble. The media has no conscience. They're a bunch of jackals. You know what I have in my hand? I have the actual FLDS decision from the court. I want to read you a few pages. You're not going to believe this. In addition, says the court, the record demonstrates the following facts. One, there was no evidence that the male children or the female children who had not reached puberty were victims of sexual or other physical abuse or in danger of being victims of sexual or other physical abuse. With the exception of the five female children identified as having become pregnant between the ages of 15 and 17, there was no evidence of any physical abuse or harm to any other child. The department conceded at the hearing that teenage pregnancy by itself is not a reason to remove children from their home and parents. Did you hear this? Did you hear this? The department also failed to establish that the need for protection of the relator's children was urgent and required immediate removal of the children. As previously noted, none of the identified minors who are or have been pregnant are children of relators. Did you hear what I'm saying to you? And you know, one of the worst jackals on this subject was the psycho, the one with the psychopathic eyes, in my opinion, Nancy Grace, who I think should be committed to a mental hospital and arrested for what she did to these poor people. She did not stop talking about sex in the church and sex of the children, as did the leprechaun, who, as you well know, has a little problem in this area, according to the smoking gun. I think it's everybody who has sexual problems dumped on these people. That's what they did. They projected their own thing. I'm the only one who called it like it was. Okay, so I'm not having a Kobe beef barbecue this weekend. WOR, New York, Tom, go ahead, please.
Michael, God bless you and your family for what you do.
Thank you.
Live long and prosper. Michael, the Caligulan golfer has redefined gluttony. We know he sips on $1,200 bottles of wine, but now he's going to be barbecuing this weekend on $100 a pound Colby beef flown in from Japan. So he's
Let me say this, Tom. It's one thing to do that. It's another thing to rub people's noses in it. It shows a very insecure man with a very small appendage.
That's true.
Why would he tell an audience of listeners that he's richer than them and he's going to have a barbecue with meat like that? What is it? He wants them to grovel?
Somebody told me maybe he's trying to rub it in the face of the liberals that he's doing so well, but there are plenty of rich liberals also, so I don't get that either.
No, that's not it at all. He's trying to make his listeners feel insignificant compared to him. But, you know, he's let's put it to this way. He's done great work in the beginning. He's way past his prime. If he wants to do it, it's his money. He didn't take it from anyone. But to tell everybody about it like that, I think is stupid, in plain English. To boast about that on the radio, I mean, what are you going to gain by that? You're going to make people feel bad? They're going to look up to you because you're rich? So what? There are a lot of rich people.
Keep growing is because you connect with your listeners. You're doing well off, but you don't.
But Tom, I'm not a poor man, but what's the point, though? I have to rub it in people's faces? I don't do it. Now, once in a while, I'll talk about a car. I admit it. And I feel bad after I do it. I shouldn't do it. Because a lot of people are suffering and struggling out there, you know. So what can I say? To each his own. It's a big world. Thanks for the call. No, we don't have no play. Let me go take a call. That's all. Houston, Texas. Max, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. I think justice has finally been half-served. Not all the way. We won't have full justice until they put all those crooks that stole those children from a legal entity out there behind the bars.
Max, fight for it. I'm not going to let it go. I want the sect mothers to sue the state of Texas. I want them to win huge judgments for the damage done to the children's sanity, to the sanctity of the family, to the church itself. I would like to see the state broken for letting this go on. And I would like to see the women in Child Protective Services arrested for what they did. And I'd also suggest that the church sue Nancy Grace and anybody else in the media who continue to say there was sex with children. Go after the networks that run these psychopathic vampires. The only way to stop them is to sue them.
Savage.
Michael Savage here. So I was right about the raid on the polygamous cult in Texas. Everyone else in the media, with almost no exceptions, were wrong. You'll never hear them apologize for having been wrong. The only thing that will stop them from ever doing this again to other people is to be sued. I wonder if the media can be sued for having slandered the polygamous cult and saying those children there. Remember they did that? Beowulf, remember you made a montage of that hysteria that was being led on the news that night? Bed found in church, a bed on the altar, a bed was found in the altar, a bed was found in the altar, an altar bed, sex in the church, sex. Do you remember that? It was amazing to me. You know, I am so ashamed to tell you this. I am a part of the media, but I'm apart from the media. And I'm proud to be apart from the media. I'm proud that they revile me. I am proud to say that they will not have me on any of their shows, because I will not go on any of their shows. Listen to what they did when these children were wrongfully seized by the Nazis in Texas. Play it.
New details coming from a newly unsealed search warrant.
They have girls, young girls.
Acts of abuse took place.
She was abused.
Underage girls.
Horrifying new details.
Sexual abuse.
A bed.
They can assume that that's a crime.
A sex bed inside the temple.
Some girls don't even know who their parents are.
Pregnant.
Having sex.
Naturally, that would be a form of abuse.
Sexual abuse.
Consummating that marriage in the bed.
Statutory rape.
13 or 14.
Acts of abuse.
She was abused.
Sexual abuse.
A sex bed.
Abuse.
Sex.
Sexual abuse.
Sex.
Abuse.
Sex.
Where do the kids go? A sexual slavery situation. That's what this is.
See, Leprechaun led the charge. Now, we know from the court case, from the smoking gun, we know about the loofahs. At least there were, you know, little loofah play there. And they had to smear someone off to get the case brushed up. Then he put himself in a flag And from there on, he was writing books on how to raise children. Good luck to him, you know, This Way to the Egress and all of that. But he was leading the charge against these poor, innocent Christians down there. And now it's proven that the state was wrong in seizing the children. Well, you got to ask yourself why the Leprechaun and Scarface and Graceless would do this. Why are they so obsessed with sex? You know what? It's Labor Day weekend. I could care less, truthfully. I don't know how you people don't. I don't know how you don't see through it all. I just don't get it. You know, forget me in the media. One day I won't be here and you won't have me to kick around anymore. But the thing is, how are you so gullible that all a person has to say is, A, I'm a liberal, or B, I'm a conservative, and all of a sudden they're your voice of America? Don't you ever get disgusted with some of the things they do and not listen to them anymore? I would. I've turned some shows off. I'll never turn them on again. That's all. And you should do the same, with the exception of this show. But again, I have mail. As everyone's planning a vacation again. Oh, I have a question for the guys who are gun guys out there. I am going to use my Ruger Mini 14 for the first time in many years. I haven't used my rifle for years. I've shot the handguns. In the 80s, I bought a Ruger Mini 14, which, of course, shoots 223s. It's still one of my favorite, you know, rifles. How many years is ammo good for? I've had ammo here. Some of it must be 20 years old. I can see the boxes. It's UMC ammo that I pulled out of the gun safe. I don't know if I should use it. It looks fine. It's $5 a box for 20 rounds. You could tell how old it is by that, right? And now it's about $1 a bullet, I think. I don't know what it costs anymore. Who looks? I don't do that much shooting. But I'm going to do a little shooting this weekend. I'm going to do a little boating this weekend. I'm going to do a little barbecuing this weekend. I'm going to read a lot. I am going to bicycle, and that's it. That's the whole story. You know, it is Labor Day weekend. So in light of the fact that you know I was right on the seizure of the children, you know who was behind whipping up the media hatred and frenzy. Leprechaun was, in my opinion, one of the worst offenders of this. And you know what? He owes them an apology. Do you think the Leprechaun owes those families an apology for having done what he said? Did you hear what he said, those things? You know, it's one thing to criticize Kennedy and criticize liberals and criticize. But when you hear these guys who wrapped themselves in the American flag doing it, and you know that they were wrong, what do you say? You got to say something about this, you know. Let's play some music to do with Labor Day, because if I was a normal person, I wasn't on radio today. It's already the weekend. Most people are already gone, or their minds are gone. They're either gone, or they're going, or they got there, they're driving, they flew, they don't know where they are, who they're going to, why they're going. They have no idea who they're visiting, why they're visiting them, but they're on the way, and they're desperate, and they're anxious, and they can't wait to get home the minute they get there, because everything's wrong. The children, they're reaching in the car already, telling the children to hush down. It's early yet on a Thursday. The children in the back making a mess, screaming with ice cream, candy, Ritalin. They don't know what's going on back there. M&M's, children, and Ritalin. Eventually, on the way home, the father's arm is going to be driving with the left hand and flailing with the right hand, trying to grab a child like a bag and stop them from doing what they're doing in the back. Don't think I don't know what goes on in cars with children. You know, when you don't have child protective services in the car, I guarantee they give them a grab and tell them to stop it. Not Stars and Stripes. No, I don't want to play something patriotic. I'm not the Leprechaun. I want a car thing, like Girls by AC/DC, I think. That's by Motley Crue. Girls would be car-ish. If you have that one, we could play. Or, that's it. That's a Memorial Day sound. Get out your hogs. Get your hogs ready. The guy just wants to have some fun on the open road. God, man, the men in this country really have to blow off steam. We're under such pressure. A feminized, homosexualized country. The men don't know what to do with themselves. There's a seething violence underneath it all. Turn it off. That is why ultimate fighting is becoming so big. Because there's a seething violence in the male, primarily in the white male. That's not to say that one of the best ultimate fighters happens to be a black guy. But it's largely, at this point, you see white guys, and they're seething with rage from what's been taken from them by the feminists and by the others, you know, who are controlling virtually every aspect of their lives. That's why there's secret fight clubs. There's this kind of thing going on. And I'm telling you, it's really a symptom of what's coming in this country. That's all I can say to you. I feel like Nostradamus on this issue without being able to specify. Okay, now we have another car sound I want to play, a car song that I'm trying to think of. I can't remember, but did the wheels skid out? Oh, I don't have that sound, but I had it when I was a local host, no more. Don't we have a drag racing sound of any kind, the sound of wheels screeching? Those were... don't waste your time. It's okay. It's Memorial Day. They're getting ready. It's late already, a Thursday. Most of them, they're not in work. They're going tomorrow. I don't know where they go. Where do people go for the Memorial Day holiday? They're going somewhere. It's really the start of summer when you think about it. The beaches they're going to for sure. And what else? Everyone has to barbecue. Reminds me of just one person alone with a barbecue and a tray, the way life is today. You think it's all like The Sopranos? You think everyone has it but you. Everyone's together and they're barbecue. They have the strip steak and the sausage and everyone's having it but you. 20 guys. Everyone's running around, the children, the men. That goes on very rarely these days, except amongst very tight-knit ethnic communities and some, I would say, some groups at work. But by and large, people don't have those close groups anymore, truthfully. WOR, Biloxi, Mississippi. Adam, welcome to the show. Go ahead, please, on the ammo question.
Yeah, Mike, to answer your question, I've got some ammo from the 1940s that I shoot at from World War II era guns.
Yes, sir.
And they go bang every time.
All right, so it's clean, it's dry, it's beautiful, it's going to work, right?
As long as ammo is kept in a stable temperature and dry, it'll shoot every time.
Good. Well, it's like good wine, I guess. Hopefully it got better sitting in the safe. Thanks for that call. I'll use it up. That'll give me the opportunity to go buy new ammo. I mean, I bought new rifles that I've never shot. I'll tell you, you talk about guns. I have a Springfield M1A rifle that is so astounding. It's built on the World War II. They modified. This thing shoots around like it could go through a car radiator. I've never fired a round in it. My favorite rifle that I'm tempted to use, which I've never shot also, I've owned it for 10 years, would you believe it? And I never shot it. It's a lever action. I think it's a Winchester. It shoots a .357. You know the old Buffalo guns that, like on the West, you see the guy had in the saddle? That kind of thing with the lever action. It's a tube-fed thing. That is a beautiful gun, gorgeous gun, and I'm tempted to just use that instead and see what that little honey can do. But I think I'm going to go back to basics. The Ruger Mini 14 was purchased in 1982, as I say. It's got a wooden stock, and it's like brand new. How much am I being? $59, $65. How much am I? I'm not going to sell anything on the air. What are you kidding me? Forget about it. WOR, Deborah, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. Thank you for taking my call. It's truly an honor to speak with you.
Oh, you know, one thing, and I don't want to be a wise guy. Nobody should say it's an honor to speak to me. I am not the barbecuer, but go on, please.
Well, there's always hope.
Okay, you got me there. Good shot. How many husbands have you buried, Deborah?
Buried? No, divorced one.
You're good. You're good. So what's on your mind tonight? You got a good sense of humor. I got to give you that.
Well, thank you. Actually, I think we both have the same background in various ways. But
wait a minute now. You're not telling me you're the Debbie from the fifth grade that slapped me in the ear when I was wearing a devil's mask, are you?
No, but sounds kind of cool.
So what's on your mind?
Okay, I opened up my New York Times this morning, and the front page, it's talking about Barack Obama going down to Florida to court the elderly Jewish vote.
Hold it. I have it in my hand. I've been talking about that old here. As Obama heads to Florida, Jews there have their doubts. Okay, go on.
Okay. Well, actually, I read it, and I've been thinking about it all day. And at first, my train of thought went the same way yours did. What kind of a constituency is this? But the more I thought about it, the more I realized this makes perfect sense. Because these are our parents, you know, us as the baby boomer generation, these are our parents, our grandparents, our friends, aunts, and uncles, who grew up as staunch Democrats, as possible communists, socialists, whatever. They believe something I think all of us should believe, that the right to vote is very, very important, and we should do it no matter what. And they do this. They plan their days, not only going out and getting the early bird blue plate special, but they plan their days and their weeks about catching that van, catching those buses to go vote. And I think
what you're saying is the reason Obama is pandering to octogenarians and Century Village is because, although they may be few in numbers relatively, they are very high in terms of their voting density.
Yes, and it's not just them. I think that after speaking with friends at work today who are of other ethnicities who have retired, whose parents have retired down to Florida, they all believe the same way, the old Italians, the old Irish, and they are going to vote come hell or high water.
Yes, but listen to this. Many of the Jews in Florida are not big fans of Obama. They may vote for McCain because they have more faith in McCain with regard to Israel. That's number one. And they don't trust Obama, rightly so, because of Reverend Wright, because of his ties to Louis Farrakhan and his suspicious unknown background. So they have instincts that may be operational here.
100%, and that's also what the article spoke about. But I'm thinking, I'm trying to put myself in Obama's head and in Obama's handlers' heads. And they don't think that. They think that he's going to go down and charm the socks off of them and get
Yeah, but he will. He absolutely will. I think that he will. Don't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually some, because my mother, she's actually in Los Angeles. But she voted for Hillary because, well, she said kind of an ethnic slur. She said, I wouldn't vote for the you-know-what, which I will not repeat. But I think we both, as older Jews, know what she said.
So she's a racist because that's the way they were in that generation.
Well, she's also from the South.
Wow.
So possibly, and I think a lot of them in that generation were like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think about Woody Allen and his self-hating imagery?
Oh, God, I hate him. I've always hated him.
You have.
He's such an embarrassment.
Now, Deborah, I don't really know if I know you, but truthfully, you're not the same Debbie from the fifth grade, are you? Mrs. Jasinska's class? Because I once had a Halloween party. It was in my mother's house. I remember I was a kid, maybe fifth, sixth grade, and I got a devil's costume, and it had a rubber mask, a red rubber mask. It was toxic rubber in those days, you know. I put it on. I sweat through it. It probably caused cancer in my head. I don't even know. I grabbed a girl. I gave her a kiss through the mask. She hauled off with her right hand, and she gave me a rap. My ear rings to this day. Decades later, my left ear still rings.
I swear to God, it wasn't me. I'm about to
Oh, you are good. You are really a great caller, Deborah. Thanks for playing the savage game here. It is fun. You know, when you get a caller with a sense of humor, which is very rare in talk radio, most people are all business. I mean, it's unbelievable. All right, Mike, let's get back to work. Let's stop joking around here. All right, let's get back to work. But I try to lighten it up. All right, Mike, that was very good. We know you're a funny guy. Let's get back to work. We want you to bash the liberals. All right, Mike, don't lose track here. Bash the liberal. You know, like sometimes you just want to let go here. So I did. Play the klezmer music, then we'll take a break. This music makes my flesh crawl. It sounds weak. It sounds diaspora. It smells of diaspora, where you have disarmed men unable to defend themselves, with Poles and Russians and Ukrainians burning their villages down and raping their women and stealing their silverware. It's sad. What do you think? I'm joking about it, mocking it? I'm not mocking it. It's disgusting. I don't like this music, truthfully. It's the sound of Woody Allen-esque men. You want to hear Jewish music? Well, if you want to hear the Jewish music, you have to listen to Yemenite music. Turn that off. You want to eat Jewish food? It's not corned beef. It's not corned beef. This is something people don't even understand. If you say, Jewish food, I'll go to a deli. That's not Jewish food. It's 19th century Polish holiday food. It's heart attack food. It tastes good. It's salty. It's fatty. It's sugary. And it may taste good, but it's not traditional Jewish food. Traditional Jewish food would be Yemenite food. In other words, the Arabic food of the desert is the food of the Jews. Where do you hear that anywhere? So when you say, oh, Italian food, I think I'll have veal parmigiana and this and that. That's not Italian food either. That's Italian holiday food of the 19th century. Italian food would have been grain and vegetables with an occasional small piece of protein. That's Italian food. They never heard of spumoni. I'll be back. It is Memorial Day weekend on the Savage Nation. I mean, try to remember why we have freedom. Because of the men who died so we could have this freedom. Not because of the vermin and the ACLU who have tried to take our freedoms away under the guise of giving us liberty. You understand that? I mean, I, for one, love the smell of brass in the afternoon. For example, I told you, I just got out old ammo. So here, look at the difference. Here's a box of 223 from UMC, and I think it was made in China. I'm not 100% sure. It's pretty old. I paid $5.29, according to this label, for these 20 cartridges. Now, 529, it's got to be 20 years old. I'm looking at it. Let me smell it. That's a vintage 83. I can tell by the scent. Fabulous. I love the smell of brass in the afternoon. Now let's shift to a Remington 223, $12.99 a box. This must be within 3 years old. Now there's a gourmet smell for you. Beats the smell of a Kobe steak going down a fat man's gullet. That's good. That's good. That's good. 1-800-449-8255. Phone number, michaelsavage.com. Website, we'll do these. We'll do other stories. Mainly it's that Debbie did Dallas. Now Barack is doing Boca. It's also that I was the only one in the major media who has been proven right once again by defending the Constitution, not so much the church itself. But if you haven't seen the news, you really ought to see the news because it should be celebrated across America. The bell should be ringing in every church in America. Your pastor, your reverend, your rabbi should be talking about this case in synagogues and churches over the weekend because, sure, they're not Mormons and they're not polygamists. But if they didn't understand that by being silent when the thugs in Texas came for the Mormon children, the next it would be them. If they didn't see that, then they're blind and they really have no vision whatsoever. And I'm sure they don't. Most people don't have any vision. They're very pointedly, you know, stuck in place. They do what they're told to do. They say what they're told to say. They read the paper or listen to some schmuck on television tell them what to think. But I usually can see things for what they are. And I knew by the leprechaun's slurs, in my opinion, against the FLDS sect, that something was wrong here. It was a media lynching. It was a media lynching by those who have their own sexual hangups, inflicting them upon Mormons who could not strike back at them. My only hope is that the lawyers who get the children back for the parents now sue the state of Texas and try to get the mean-faced, clipped-haired women in Child Protective arrested for this, and then go after the networks and the media and the hosts who said there was sexual abuse of the children. Sue them. Sue them. Sue them.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Let's be honest, and part of what raises concerns, you've got a black guy named Barack Obama. And so people say, you know, he's got sort of a Muslim-sounding name, and we don't know what's going on here. So let me just clear up anything that's going on. My father was from Kenya. And Barack, actually, interestingly enough, means the same as Baruch. It means one who's blessed.
That's right. We know you're blessed.
And the reason...
Oh, thank God! He's just like us! Oh, I'm so relieved!
That's interesting.
Oh, I'm thrilling!
It's the same.
Oh, that beautiful boy! Look at him! Oh, I'm gonna vote for him now! Oh, I had no idea it meant blessed one. Had I only known. I knew he was the Messiah, but blessed too? Oh! You talk about egomania. It doesn't get any better than that. This guy has some, what a pair he has, this guy. This is astounding. I'm a blessed one now. Not only is he the Messiah, but he's a blessed Messiah. Well, I'll tell you. So we know that Debbie did Dallas, and now Barack is doing Boca. Did it a few hours ago to calm down the voters of Boca Raton. It's unbelievable to me what politics makes such strange bedfellows, so to speak. And we are also talking about a much more important story than the blessed one, which is that an appeals court has found that the state of Texas wrongly stole the children from the polygamous sect. And that I was the only one in the media who called it like it was, which was a travesty of humanity, what the court, what the state did, and a travesty and a trampling on our Constitution. No one else saw that. But the I hope these children are returned rapidly and the mean-faced, clipped-haired women in so-called Child Protective Services are arrested for child sexual abuse for what they did to them. And then the state of Texas is sued by each and every mother and by the church. And then... then I won't rest until those in the media who ganged up on this poor cult and called them molesters and sex abusers are sued also by the church and win huge settlements so they don't do this to anyone else. And that's what I say. That's all. And that's why I stood up for them. 1-800-449-8255. Read all about it on the website, michaelsavage.com. Here are some other stories up on my site. Now, this is important because I'm going to drop it over the next day or two. It's the real Kennedy record. The real Kennedy record. I don't care whether you like the fact or don't like the fact that I talked about Kennedy's politics, but I did so because everyone was talking about Kennedy's tumor, and I was talking about Kennedy's politics. Since we're focused on the man, let's talk about the important part here, which is his political legacy, which is very, very bad, terrible, as a matter of fact. Underneath that, we see the sad sack John McCain going on Ellen DeGeneres' show, and being mocked on the show and, again, apologizing to Ellen DeGeneres to try to win maybe two lesbians over to his vote, again, giving the middle finger to the conservative movement. And here's something I have to say that I'm not proud to say and happy to say, but I have to say it. I put up a headline because I read an article in Human Events by Pat Buchanan that made my hair stand up. My hair stood up. And I've had Pat on this show numerous times. And I've... enjoyed the conversations, but I'm afraid that all friendships come to an end. My headline says, has Pat Buchanan gone soft on Hitler? Because by what I saw here as a man, as an apologist for Adolf Hitler, I couldn't believe what I was reading. It may as well have been a revisionist textbook written by a neo-Nazi historian. I couldn't believe what I looked at. I could not believe the article itself in Human Events, where the article is Bush Plays the Hitler Card by Patrick Buchanan. I would say, Pat, no, it's you playing the Hitler card, and you're playing it a little close to the vest, my friend. Something is wrong here. And for you to apologize for Adolf Hitler invading Poland and invading Czechoslovakia is astounding. Listen to this, what Pat Buchanan writes. It says, and why did Hitler's tanks roll into Poland, says Pat Buchanan? Because Poland refused to negotiate over Danzig, a Baltic port of 350,000 that was 95% German. Then he says, Hitler had not wanted war with Poland. He had wanted an alliance with Poland in his anti-Comintern pact against Joseph Stalin. But the Poles refused to negotiate. Why? Because they were proud, defiant, heroic people. I couldn't believe it. He actually argues that Hitler was a negotiator and didn't mean to invade Czechoslovakia or Poland. So as I say, you know, things in time change, things change, people change, and sometimes you got to let go of old acquaintances and old lang syne, and I'm going to do it here. It's that simple. If you want to talk about it, hey, be my guest. Larry, Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I go back to the days when you started in radio, and my trips to San Francisco, your show was a highlight, because I have never had more fun listening to you as I do today, both when I laugh because you do say some things that are just hilarious and pointing out some facts, and secondly, when you take the serious positions like this thing with the children, yes. I just find it to be a very informative thing. And I will say two things to you. One, you're 100% right without your hands tied behind your back, and you are the true American. But with that, I'd like to say one thing. And I don't know if it's a question or if it's a comment. I'll let you decide. I would really prefer or like you not even to mention those guys because they don't measure up. You have so much to offer.
I hear what you're saying. I've heard this before, and I'm not ridiculing what you say. I'm not rejecting what you say. A lot of people get uncomfortable when I attack other hosts. And I'll clear the air on it, Larry. Let me tell you what my enmity is about them. When I was attacked by the illegal alien mobs last spring, they did not come to my aid at all. They said nothing about it. When I was attacked by the Council on the CAIR people, not one of them raised their powerful voices to defend me. They're in it only for themselves. They're all fat liars. They don't believe a drop of what they say, and I'm not going to sit here and support them. On the other hand, I don't have to mention them in that regard. You're right, but I have a lot of enmity towards them because they're frauds. If they didn't come to my defense, whose defense will they come to?
You know what? With that, and I've heard that you say that, and I do agree with you, and I just thought I wanted to say what I said.
Well, who am I going to turn to when I'm attacked by a group like CAIR, but other men in the media who claim to be conservatives, who ignore the situation because they're so greedy and so jealous of me that they're blind to the fact that unless they defend me, they're going to be next. That's what I'm saying. They have no vision
about it. But you know something? Your best position, in my opinion, I'm not trying to tell you what your position would be.
No, you're right. You're talking to me like a friend, and I hear it. And I've heard it before from other callers. And I try not to, Larry, I got to tell you, I will talk about it. It's a very interesting truth serum for me today. I was thinking about this today. Why am I so pugnacious with regard to this situation? And I said, well, maybe I should not be so. I was thinking about it. You know, I'm very reflective on my own act, so to speak, on the radio. And you know what I came to? I came to the fact that I've reconditioned my entire being over the last many decades, and I become a fighter, and I'm a fighter 24/7, and I'm ready to snap at anyone who tries to get the better of me. I'm very defensive, I'll admit that, but I'm also very good at what I do, and the fact of the matter is I should be proud of the fact that I am verbally adept and that I use this adeptness when it needs to be used. On the other hand, the mark of a great swordsman is to not have to draw the sword.
Right. You know, Michael, two quick things, and I know you got a lot of callers. One,
No, hey, I got nothing but time for you because I like this conversation.
Say to me, beware of the man that defends the children to the nth degree with the Bible in his hand. He could be the most dangerous one.
And well, who would that be? But who would that be?
Who would that be? Who defends every child under any condition? This thing in Texas, which was a ludicrous thing, and our friend from Ireland just went crazy like he was the Messiah going to protect these children. These children are the ones that aren't being abused. The children.
Oh, you're saying the leprechaun was holier than thou on it, calling it sex abuse and rape and statutory rape. He went crazy on this.
Yeah, beware the guy walking with the Bible defending his little girls. And, defend the children.
Right. And my position was different than that. My position was not defending polygamy, as you know. It was defending the constitutionality of the act of invading a church and seizing children based on hearsay evidence and a fake call.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing interesting, you mentioned that, you know, that boxing thing, that, you know, that new thing that's such a big rage.
Yeah, Ultimate Fighting.
Two fellas in Las Vegas own that. They happen to own about 13 casinos, two young men that were very fortunate to be born into the right family and then be smart enough to be able to take it beyond their father's.
Oh, yes. I'm very aware of that business to a certain extent. Larry, what business are you in, may I ask?
I'm in the construction business. I travel out throughout California, Nevada, and Arizona.
Well, it sounds like you're a guy who's been around a long time.
Well, a little, probably as long as you.
That's a long time, Larry. It's starting to feel longer every day. It's starting to feel like a longer time.
Remember the days when you started in San Francisco? My God, I would have a 4 o'clock flight, and I would sit and I would have a rent a car, and I'd say, "Oh, the hell with it! I'm going to just park on the roadside and I listen to the end of your show and take a later."
Isn't
flight
that now, Larry? I got to tell you, this is a great Memorial Day present you're giving me. I wish I could return something to you in kind, other than my radio program, which is all I can do right now, Larry. I thank you very much for this call and for your listenership, okay?
Thanks.
Thank you, man. Well, that's the kind of listener that I really count on, to be honest with you. All right, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. The website's michaelsavage.com. It's Memorial Day weekend, as you well know. We're talking, you know, about a couple of topics. I'm going to move past these into other topics. If you want to relive the Kennedy legacy, you want to talk about the fact that there's a huge ruling today, that a state appeals court has found that Texas wrongly seized the polygamous sex children, and how wrong the leprechaun and the others in the business were. We'll do that right here on the Savage Nation. Be here. Savage. So when they came for the Mormons, you said nothing because you were not a Mormon. But Michael Savage saw it was wrong. It was a violation of our Constitution. The media bozos and bozettes went hysterical. They created an electronic lynching of them. They said there was sex abuse. Now today the appeals court said, no, not true. And you can read the appeals court ruling yourself on michaelsavage.com. I actually have the ruling up on my website. It's amazing. Texas Court of Appeals, 3rd District in Austin. Now, I thought about this because people are going to say, aha, so you do think judges are good, huh, Mike? And you didn't like it when the judges overturned the referendum by the people and made homosexual marriage legal in California. Well, there's a huge difference. I thought this through on the bicycle today. In California, the people had actually voted on homosexual marriage and said no. And here we had one judge say yes, throwing out the votes, in essence, of 4 or 5 million people. While the Texas Court of Appeals was not voting against or judging against a referendum of the people, they were voting against the illegal acts of the Child Protective Services in favor of the constitutionality. So you see there's a huge difference here. So there's always an answer if you think about it, but you have to not be lazy and you can think it through. Nobody was sexually abused according to this. Nobody was neglected, except the only people abused were the members of the church abused by the media vermin. And the media vultures. I think I should play that again. I want you to hear what we have. We're the only ones left in the media who actually recorded what the media did, the electronic lynching of this church sect. I want you to listen and you'll recognize some of the voices. Go ahead and play it.
New details coming from a newly unsealed search warrant.
They have girls, young girls.
Acts of abuse took place.
She was abused.
Underage girls.
Horrifying new details.
Sexual abuse.
A bed.
They can assume that that's a crime.
A sex bed inside the temple.
Some girls don't even know who their parents are.
Pregnant.
Having sex.
Naturally, that would be a form of abuse.
Sexual abuse.
Consummating that marriage in the bed.
Statutory rape.
13 or 14.
Acts of abuse.
She was abused.
Sexual abuse.
A sex bed.
Abuse.
Sex.
Sexual abuse.
Sex.
Abuse.
Sex.
Where do the kids go? A sexual slavery situation. That's what this is.
Oh, yeah? You sure about that, Lep? I'm not so sure it was. It could be that you were getting a little hysterical here. So what you're listening to here is a rush to judgment. It was media hysteria. It was the madness of the media that flared up the American people and caused 468 children to be forcibly taken out of their mother's arms at gunpoint. And I am the only one in the electronic media, so far as I know, who said foul ball, wrong, unconstitutional. You hear this? Now, they did this based upon, quote, department witnesses, those are the mean-faced, clipped-haired feminist male haters, expressed the opinion that, quote, there's a pervasive belief system among the residents, and now they were arresting them for their beliefs. Did you hear this? They arrested them. It was a thought crime they were arresting them for. I don't think you understand how bad this was. And they said this pervasive belief system posed a danger to the children. But nobody had actually been molested or raped. But as you well know, that didn't stop the department from seizing the children. And I hope now that the church's lawyers go after the guilty parties here for having done it. But the first thing is the children have to be reunited with their beautiful, pure, clean mothers. I hope the children have not been damaged by being put into inferior homes around the state of Texas. You're telling me that those children weren't more pure than a child in an average American house who watches the garbage and filth that's on television and listens to the garbage of our society? It's unbelievable to me. So anyway, I think I've covered that pretty well. You got any patriotic music for me? There you go. Hey. Oh, hey. God bless America. And God bless our men of the armed forces. God bless them all. What does this do for you? You mock it? Tears to your eyes, you get chills up your spine, you'll know who you are as an American by how you react to this. Listen, answer yourself, not me. Depends upon what visceral reaction you had to this song, You know whether you are a progressive, a liberal, a Democrat, a conservative, or a nationalist. I'll let you decide where you fit on that scale. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be back for much more right here on your local station. Be here.
Savage.
This is when the Navy was still the Navy before they became floating maternity wards. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Now, when a rubber boat approaches, an aircraft carrier, they have to go back, they have to contact Tampa to see if they're able to fire a Daisy BB gun at the boat. We have the weapons. We have the men able to fly the F-A-18 Hornets. Unfortunately, and this is not easy for me to say, unfortunately, you know what I'm going to say, and it's unfortunate, so I'm not going to say it. Unfortunately, wait, here it is. I actually wrote it out. Unfortunately, the four-star idiots have not even turned on the radar. They're still seeing where their pensions are invested and whether they can get a nice contract with one of the businesses doing business in Iraq. That's the problem. What you have is bureaucracy now in the military that's crippling our military. It's a bureaucracy that rages from the corporations through the military. And I'm not anti-corporation, don't get me wrong. But when they reach such a point that they become like governments, then you have a problem. And that's why we have a military problem today. 1-800-4. Here's an email I just got from the most important program director in America. And I'm going to leave his name out of it. He's anonymous. But he's admittedly the most acknowledged program director in radio. Listen to what he just sent to me. Anonymous now. Savage, I think you handled the Kennedy situation brilliantly. Plenty of savage fire and honesty, but also carefully avoiding the landmines that your enemies used to be able to use against you. Very nicely done. So I sent them back an email that says, the old lion knows where the traps are. The young lion rushes in and is snared. Oh, yeah. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. Good, 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 good. It's all good. Hey, how about another little, how about Sousa, the Washington Post? You got that music for Memorial Day? Hey, everyone knows this one. It's like the Boston Pops, they know. Oh. John Philip Sousa of Portuguese descent. See, there was an immigrant. How come he could come from Portugal and write a tune that's still being played? When you got people coming in today won't speak English, let alone write a tune that will play. Think about it. You know, answer to that one. Boom, it's enough. They had enough of it already. That's all. It's all timing. Any more than that already, they flip the dial. They look for music, whatever. News, they want hard news. You want hard news? I'll give you news that's so hard you'll break down today on Memorial Day. Well, what's the hard news? I'm going to look at it again. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the hard news. There's plenty of it. It's heartbreaking news. California marriage opponents seek five-month delay. What is that? Oh, no, that just came. I see Memorial Day weekend. Look at this. Who did this? Oh, I see. I'm going to get agitated now. A conservative legal group is asking the California Supreme Court to stay its decision legalizing homosexual marriage until voters get a chance to weigh in. See, now I agree with them. The Arizona-based Alliance Defense Fund wants the ruling stayed until November, when voters are likely to encounter a ballot measure that would amend the state's constitution to ban homosexual marriage. That vote would overturn the justice's ruling. I agree with them. Don't call me on it. I can't deal with it. I don't want to deal with it anymore. I can't. I swear to you. I just can't take it anymore. What else do we have? Texas seizure of polygamous sex kids thrown out. Absolutely. L.A. welcomes 18,000 new citizens, a city record. Oh, that one I'm afraid to open. New citizens. Is their clothing still wet or what? Record crowds of immigrants, more than 18,000 all, took citizenship oaths here Thursday, a showing credited to rising fees, a heated debate over illegal immigration, and one of the brand-new Americans raising their hands. In becoming a citizen, radio host and blah, 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 was taking the advice he has frequently dispensed on his show. Oh, who cares what he says? What do I care what he says? You're nobody. So there it is. So there's Apocalypto is emerging in Los Angeles. Eventually, the Angelinas will be thrown out of their own city by the Apocalypto people, who will then build pyramids and perhaps roll chicken hearts down to feed the cats at the bottom. Ta-da-da-da. Could you play me some more music? I'm not bored. I'm happy, but I don't want to over-rev the audience. I can get them crazy today. I love that. Trill. Lionel Trilling. Trilogy. What a trill it was. If you're from Brooklyn, you say, what a trill it was. If you're from Canarsie, you say, what a trill it was. If you're a musician, you say, what a trill it was. If you're a dummy, you say, was it a trill? If you're a real dummy, you say, what is a trill? Turn it off already. I'm talking to myself. I'm starting to speak in tongues. I know what I'm saying. So Obama goes to the Bagels and Locks crowd in Boca Raton. Barry does Boca. And, it reminds me of like a simplistic joke that we used to tell in high school about politicians. Ladies and gentlemen, I come before you to stand behind you and tell you something I know nothing about. That was Obama today. Well, what does he think? He's fooling anybody? And the most nauseating moment was when this turkey comes in and says that he's a relative of it. Who's this guy with the relative? Play the relative one. I want to hear him again.
What's your name? Jack Pachter.
Good to see you, Jack.
You and I are Lunsmen. You know what that means?
Go ahead.
We're brothers.
You and me.
So let me explain the following. What I dislike about America...
Please, get it off. Please. Bad. Lunsmen already. Why is he a Lunsman of yours, Jack? What makes him a Lunsman? Why are you in love with him? What is it that he did already that you're in love with him, Jack, I'd like to ask? Excuse me. I'd like to take Jack by the shoulders and look him in the eyes. Jack? Hello, Jack. Why is he a brother of yours? What did he do that made him a brother? Don't you understand that liberalism is a sentiment? And the sentiment of liberalism will distort the mind as surely as I am sitting here. Why is Barack Obama a brother to this Jewish gentleman in Boca Raton? What made him a brother? Oh, I get it. They both suffered. Is that it? So Jack is suffering in Boca Raton. How? Because he can only stuff his punim four times a day instead of six? And Barack Obama suffered how? By going to Punahou High School that his white grandmother paid for? That's how he suffered? You know, you want to get me started on this. I can really get into this. But I don't want to get into it. Even though I got into it, now you're going to call on it. Even though I said I wouldn't get into it, you're going to get into it. So play the Klezmer music, and let's get it on already. Play it already. And when you come out of this, play 28 so that people can really get sick.
Let's face it. Let's be honest. And part of what raises concerns... you've got a black guy named Barack Obama. And so people say, he's got sort of a Muslim-sounding name, and we don't know what's going on here. So let me just clear up anything that's going on. My father was from Kenya. And Barack, actually, interestingly enough, means the same as Baruch. It means one who's blessed.
Because
it's the same Semitic root.
I heard enough already. What a lovely boy he is. That is so wonderful. Like if I could vote 1,000 times, I would. Well, I already vote a few hundred times. What between New York and Florida, how many times I voted that the guys don't know? God, you get me sick, this whole thing. This whole thing has really got the yick factor, the yuck factor. It's disgusting. The whole thing is racist. The entire election's become about race, by the way. What? Why is he suddenly identifying with one side of his heritage instead of both or the other side? When did he become African-American instead of European-American, since he has a choice here? Well, the answer is because it worked for him this far, and let me clear things up. What works for you works for you. And so we may as well just clear this up. Now, since I could have also said that I am a white guy, I chose to say, I am a black guy, because that works in America today, especially with guilt-ridden white people like you. You know. So would you like to, you want to deal with reality? You want psychological reality? You just got it. It's nauseating. The whole thing sickens me. I'm telling you that they would go down to Century Village there. They're nice people by and large. I mean, they get on your nerves, nice in the sense that they're harmless. Let's put it to you that way. They can really not do you any harm. But you don't want to get around them on a you don't want to get around them in a few places, the Boca Raton crowd that he's after. One, don't ever get in front of them on an early bird dinner line. That's all I can warn you. Because you're liable to get a plastic fork in your neck. That's A. B, in a supermarket, especially if you're a middle-aged woman between the ages of, let's say, 45 to 65, and you see one of them coming at you with a shopping cart, run to the next aisle because you're sure going to lose your knuckles. That's number two. Number three, on a post office line around holidays, leave if one of them shows up. You're liable to not survive. You'll get a paper burn you'll never forget. It could be across your eye. The vitreous humor could wind up dripping on your neck if you get in the way of one of these guys going for a postage stamp. You know, years ago in the year 2000, I got to tell you a story. I was down in Florida. I'm not going to do it now. I'll do it when we come back. It's so good. I was in Boca, when was it, 2000? I think it was the election. When was it, 04? It was 0000. Oh. I was in Florida during one of those elections. It was Gore versus Bushkey. Bush won. And I was in Palm Beach County. I saw what went on with the votes and the ballots. They couldn't figure out how to press the button. They got cheated because they only voted 16 times instead of 18. And they got mad. They wanted the U.S. government to send in the army to make sure they could vote 18 times. 8 times in Brooklyn at the Mahjong, and then 15 times in Atlanta when they stopped at the rest stop with the ballot that came in while they were in Europe overseas. And then a few more times in Florida. So they got mad that they could only vote once, because they're all so important to themselves down there in Boca Raton, that I did this poem called Can of Worms. That is absolutely brilliant, and I'll play it the minute I come back, so I know you're going to be here. What else you got to do? If you're listening already now, and it's a Memorial Day weekend, figure it out. Listen to this. Here's how I figure. At this hour already, on the East Coast, it's 7:45. On the West Coast, it's 4:45. Anyone listening to me already, he's got nothing to do this weekend. No barbecue, no Kobe beef, no rifle range, no golf, nothing. They're alone. It's like a desert coming up. No one wants to talk to them. They don't know any. So they're going to be here anyway. So just sit tight. I'll be right back.
Savage.
For most of America, it is Memorial Day weekend, but since Barry Obama is in Boca, it's Memorial Day weekend down there, and we're looking into folks who celebrate Memorial Day. And gives us funny stuff. You know, you can't tell if anyone knows what you're talking about. That's the problem with radio. You say things. So they hear everything that's negative. They don't hear the positive stuff. So when I disclose that Kennedy's politics were all far-left anti-American acts, they say I criticize this tumor. I never criticized this tumor. I never wished him ill. In fact, I wished him a speedy recovery, and I wished that a magical cure would be found. But they like to distort. I went on a newspaper's website that's basically out of business. They even fired the jerk who worked for many years to destroy the paper, a once great Hearst newspaper, that he ran into the ground because of foolishness and foolish liberalism. So they ran the article that said, Savage ridicules Kennedy's tumor. Now, I never did that. Then you read the comments from the morons who read these things. I couldn't believe the things they were saying, and I realized something. I never do read these things for good reason. And I realized that a lot of these blogs where people just say what they want anonymously, it's the equivalent of the electronic Ku Klux Klan. What it is, it's a lynch mob with hoods over their heads. And instead of burning a cross, they burn people's reputations. And they gang up on a person they hate and make stuff up, and they get away with it. And that's where this becomes dangerous. Then the schmuck who runs Wikipedia takes it and puts it onto the website as though it's true. You know, I haven't had the time yet to go into this, but if any of this garbage winds up on that, I'm going to sue them for everything they're worth. And I have the resources to do it. I never ridiculed Kennedy's tumor. I'm thinking of bringing an action against the newspaper now for lying about it. I never did that. Do I like Kennedy, his politics? Well, I don't know Kennedy, but I hate his politics. I abhor his politics. Is it fair game to have talked about his politics when they announced his tumor? Yes, because that's when everyone was focused on Ted Kennedy all over again, because otherwise he's been forgotten. Every once in a while he would bellow in the Senate, but no one really remembered who he was. He was very big in the 70s and 80s, and he's basically been on the way down since then. But he is the godfather of the liberal machine. There, make no mistake about it. So I read for you his legacy and what it actually is. Everything he stood for, I detest. So that's the truth of it. But like, to go back to the bigger point, you get these kids, or whoever they are, oh, yeah, he did this, Savage did that, he says this, he says that, he's terrible, I wish he gets cancer, blah, blah. And what you see is the mob. You see the lynch mob outside the tree. You see them throwing the rope over the limb. You see them screaming for blood that an innocent man be hung. And then you realize the danger of the internet, where anonymous people can act like a Ku Klux Klan lynching mob and make stuff up and get away with it. It's amazing to me. But thank God it has no bearing on reality. These are basically masturbatory human beings who are, you know, pathetic and have nothing in their life except blogging one-liners about people they've never met. And one idiot says something, and then they all say, yeah, yeah, I'd like to get him alone in a room. Yeah, he should get cancer too. Blah, blah. You start to see this stuff. You can't believe it, that this is published by a newspaper, that they let them do this. Anyway, let's move on. I tell you how I got this far, is in the beginning I was shielded from all of this stuff. I wouldn't even read it. Letters, hundreds and hundreds and thousands. I wouldn't even look at them. I had people do it, and they threw out all of this negative hatred. And I generally don't look at it, because you can't function in this business if you're going to focus on people who are making stuff up about you. So you don't read it. That's all there is to it. Could you play an Army and Air Force song or something like that for me right now, just to cheer me up? It's Glory Hallelujah. What is this one? They'll accuse me now of playing some antebellum song against American blacks. Hey, hold it. What is this? I know what it is. This is already marginal for America today. The Pledge of Allegiance was seen as Nazism in two more years if Barack wins. Anyone who salutes the flag will be arrested on sight by a girl in denim. That's too slow. No good. How about we did the Halls of Montezuma? How about we did the Did we do the Air Force song? We did the Navy song. We don't have Air Force. Don't get nervous. They're working hard today. When they leave, they're in a sweat. They're in a sweat. When my crew leaves the studio, they're sweating from head to toe. Well, so I am too. What do you think? Is this fun? For me, it is. For them, it isn't. Play the other one, the Navy thing, Anchors Away, from when the Navy was the Navy before it became floating the maternity hospitals. Envision thousands of sailors with their hands behind their back, you know, body to body lined up on the deck of a carrier. She comes into a port. It's unbelievably beautiful. It's astounding. How mixed in you see women in the ninth month of pregnancy. And you wonder why Osama bin Laden, why they're killing sheep in the cave in Waziristan, why they're cutting the sheep's throats, drinking eating the mutton. After Robert Byrd cried on the floor of the Senate, the pregnant sailors, they taunt us, and we do nothing to them. Nothing. There's nobody in charge. There's nobody in charge. There's nobody in charge. There's nobody in charge. And birds crying, birds crying, birds crying, the birds crying. And I don't mean Charlie, the birds crying. I mean Robert. I mean the ex-Ku Klux Klan member bird. That's the bird I'm talking about, not Charlie. I'm not talking about the bird. I'm not talking about Charlie the bird. Parker. Hey, do we have any Charlie Parker, Beowulf? Easily accessible. If I was like alone right now, what I'd do is play some Charlie Parker and play it. Play the, I know what you're saying. It's the crying bird. I know what you're going to do to me. God, play it anyway. Oh, you got me the good Charlie bird. Not Robert Bird. You got me Charlie Bird. You want to hear a fast mind? There's a fast mind. You want to hear a genius? is a genius. You want to see genius that isn't like Einsteinian? Not mathematical? Not linguistically, perhaps? But a genius. That's a genius. See how fast he computes? Think of the mind and how fast it's computing.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Weekend kickoff on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Don't call. It was sold out. MichaelSavage.com still has room for you to enter. So now we're living in the Gilded Age. We hear gas is $5 a gallon or whatever, and a mansion in London is set to sell for 117 million pounds. 117 million pounds. You do the math. Now, who is buying it? Who is buying it? Well, it's Britain's richest man, steel tycoon, Lakshmi Mittal. Lakshmi Mittal, I believe he is. Yeah, whatever. And £8,000 per square foot. He has a fortune of £27.7 billion. And that's it. He bought it. It's his business. It's his business. There's no England anymore. But the mansions are still there, and they're just being bidded out of comprehension, and that's the story. 1-800-449-8255. You're sitting there calling Obama your brother, huh? He's your brother. Why did that guy in Boca Raton think Obama's his lanceman? What bonds Obama with this jerk in Florida? Did you hear that soundbite? Remember years ago there was a thing, Debbie does Dallas. Now we got Barry does Boca. He goes down there to the Bagels and Locks crowd in Century Village, and he tries to sell them on, I'm not an Arab, I love Israel, you're wonderful, and you're my brother. So a jerk gets up in the audience and makes a fool of himself. He becomes a parody of his own self. Play that one again for those who don't know what I'm talking about.
What's your name?
Jack Pector.
Good to see you, Jack.
You and I are Lanzmann. You know what that means?
Ooh.
Go ahead.
We're brothers.
You and me.
So let me explain the following. What I dislike
stop.
About
now,
America...
Now, why would this Jewish gentleman say that Barack Obama, who has no history to speak of as a politician and is unknown, is his brother? What does he mean by that? That's a short answer question. It's actually yucky. It's yucky. I mean, what do you mean it's his brother? What is it about Barack Obama that binds himself to this man that it makes him think he's his brother? I can answer the question for you. Because liberalism is a sad state of mind. It's a weakness. It's a weakness that people walk around very emotional, afraid of everything, and everyone's going to kill them and throw them in a, the trains and the gas and the Zyklon. And Barack Obama also suffered, so therefore he's his brother. That's the so-called, that passes for the thinking. But there are so many fallacies in that train. There's no logic there. There's nothing there. There's no connection. Barack Obama could easily be identified as a white man because his grandmother was white. He also went to a very expensive private high school in Hawaii. He was not poor, so you could say he was an elitist. So where does this man Jack come off to say, you're my brother? It's sad, don't you understand? And all politicians will use emotion to sway a crowd. We all, you know, and we know that. And for Barack to go down there and pull off this stunt and say, oh, my name means Baruch, it means blessed. It doesn't mean that. Barak doesn't mean blessed necessarily. It doesn't necessarily come from Baruch. In fact, there's an Israeli politician by the name of Ehud Barak. Why don't we ask him what Barak means? I'm not sure that Barak means blessed. Is there anyone in the audience who speaks Hebrew who could tell me if Barak means blessed? Or there may be another word for it. I understand that it may mean lightning. And speaking of lightning striking twice, we don't need to be struck twice again with another leftist president. We already had Jimmy Carter. And we know where this one will go. Jimmy Carter unleashed Ayatollah Khomeini. Jimmy Carter unleashed the virus of radical Islam on the world. You could just imagine what this one will do. I don't know if Jack will call him his brother in a couple of years. I'm not quite sure. I mean, Jack could say something else in two more years when he'll say, why did you sting me? He'll say, because I could. What would you like to talk about? Carl Icahn says Obama would be a terrible U.S. president. Somebody dared stand up to the brainwashing? Billionaire investor Carl Icahn said Barack Obama would be a terrible U.S. president. His election would bring higher interest rates and a loss of international confidence in the dollar. He said, I don't normally get involved in politics, but this time I am, Icahn told an investors conference in New York last night. I don't think Obama really understands economics. Hold on. That's for Carl Icahn having the you-know-what to stand up to the brainwashing here. The Obama campaign referred a quest for comment to UBS America's chairman Robert Wolf, a fundraiser. He said, well, anyway, Wolf is a fundraiser. But Icahn went on to say, I personally think he would be a terrible president. Obama will probably go on a huge spending spree that the country can't afford right now. Coupled with the higher tax rates that the Illinois Senate has already endorsed, you would have a loss of confidence in the dollar, leading to accelerating inflation and much higher interest rates, Icahn said. His comments and remarks by other presenters at the conference were embargoed by the organizers until this morning. This is good. Even worse, Icahn said, would be a Democratic president with a veto-proof supermajority of 60 Democrats elected to the Senate. He said runaway legislation would evolve. It would be devastating. Then you couldn't stop runaway legislation. So there it is. Yeah. And don't tell me that he doesn't know what he's talking about. Now, Obama 46 has backings of billionaires like the man named George Soros. George Soros, as you well know, is a man who stands for everything so far to the left of center that the axis of his universe is nowhere in America, so far as I can tell. In fact, the axis of George Soros's universe may be in Romania, so far as I can tell. And I'll sing Romania for you if you'd like for the right price. I'll start singing Romania next, but I don't think I'm going to get to it right now. How many minutes do I have? 3 minutes to the break. Can we play that Florida thing, or we'll do it later? We don't have time. So play for me something else, like a patriotic Memorial Day song, so the fathers stop getting mad at their children in the backseat of the car as they're going away on vacation to Monticello with Iraq. See if the bungalow's ready for the season. They're going to see if the mattress is there and the mice ate into the wall. What would you give to be able to turn the clock back 40 years? I'd give nothing. Horrible times. Horrible times. Who wants to turn a clock back? What do you think I am? Alfred E. Who was that comedian who hung from a clock? I'm trying to think. Harold Lloyd. That's right. Not related to Pink Floyd. Harold Lloyd hung from the clock. Trying to stop time. Brilliant comedians compared to what you have today. You turn on this a Showtime or HBO, you got one spewing hatred against the country and hatred against their own race and religion. That passes for comedy. Women do it. It's like women martial arts makes me sad. I feel like going in and saying, honey, it's okay, you don't have to do this. You see girls punching each other in the breasts. What's going on with this country? Who would pay to see women punch each other in the face and breasts? Why would they do this? Why would anyone pay for this? This is sick. Are we next going to have handicapped people beating each other up and calling it a sport and selling tickets to that? Well, there's something that you might think about. I shouldn't give the Desert Fox an idea. He'll be in the league tomorrow, the Cripple League. That's coming up next, because what I have next is James Pinkerton on his brilliant thesis, Liberty's Last Stand. Then I'll be back, and we'll do more of the same thing on the Savage Nation. And I will do things such as Barry does Boca for you and the things you've come to love. I will play your favorites on the Savage Nation today, your favorite verbal monologues, including Barry does Boca, right here on the Savage Nation. Be sure not to miss it, because if you do, well, it's over.
Savage.
James Pinkerton is a columnist, he's an author, and he served on the White House staff under both Ronald Reagan and George Bush, so he knows the inside. He's with us today on the Savage Nation to talk about a recent article in the American Conservative entitled Liberty's Last Dance. James Pinkerton, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
Well, so how have you reacted to the country club Republicans of today?
Well, I used to be a very strong capital L libertarian. And then some issues, such as border security and sort of counterterrorism, made me think that we need a stronger government and a stronger defense than we used to have, or than the Bush administration has taken seriously. But then every now and then you start reading the paper and thinking about the news, and you say, gee, here are some issues that if the government continues to abuse those powers, life will be pretty scary for ordinary, you know, law-abiding Americans. And one of those issues was the way that they caught Eliot Spitzer. I'm enough of a libertarian to think that prostitution should be legalized in a few places like Las Vegas or someplace, and enough of a conservative to think it ought to be illegal in the District of Columbia. Politicians have got enough problems without that having to worry about. But I was struck that the federal government had the power to catch former New York Governor Spitzer with spending $80,000 in cash here amidst this $14 trillion, with a T, dollar economy. And if the government can Google Spitzer, however they did it, then they must know a lot about the rest of us, too.
Well, how do you feel about the Patriot Act?
Well, I actually am for the Patriot Act. I think that the Patriot Act is fine. I think we need, again, I think the only thing worse than the IRS is Al-Qaeda. The only thing worse than the EPA is Ahmadinejad. The only thing worse than OSHA is, the Chinese government and the Russians and Putin and all these other people. We live in a dangerous world. And yes, the government needs to be kept in check, but we also have to realize there's dangers outside, too. So we're the ordinary law-abiding American is in a bit of a jam. The government is terrible, but the enemies of America are worse. So we have to hit the right balance of protecting our individual rights, including private property and guns and the right to make a living and, maybe you fill in a wetland or two if you have to in your backyard, even as we keep a government around as a kind of necessary evil to protect us from real dangers around the world.
Tell us what happened on Jefferson's birthday.
I was a little unnerved to read about a case that happened on April 12th of this year when a bunch of kids, with all the high spirits and exuberance of teenagers or 20-somethings, went to the Jefferson Memorial here in Washington on the eve of Jefferson's birthday, which is April 13th, and had a little kind of silent dance-in, for lack of a better word. They and their iPods just went up there and sort of jumped around and danced a little bit in honor of Jefferson and freedom and liberty and all that stuff. And the government, true to form, said, well, you can't do that. You just can't be dancing here on government property like this. That's an outrage. So they arrested some girl.
Are you kidding?
You can watch it on YouTube. And this is not, it's pretty clear to me that they arrested her without adequate reason. And I don't think she's going to go to prison or anything like that. But it's no fun to get arrested. And it's no fun to have the government that powerful. And so I think all Americans need to, watch the police and the government like hawks to prevent abuses from creeping in, like I think this case was.
Speaking of abuses and the government, how about the global warming factor? What do you think happens here with this big lie?
Well, don't get me started. Look, the Warner-Lieberman cap-and-trade global warming bill, what used to be the McCain-Lieberman global warming cap-and-trade bill, has been scored as in the cost of by the Congressional Budget Office, government agency controlled by the Democrats in Congress, as a $1.2 trillion, with a T, dollar tax increase. Now, McCain is sitting around talking about how he's going to cut taxes and so on and so on. Well, I don't think he really means it. And I don't think the Democrats in Congress have any intention of agreeing to any of his proposed tax cuts. But I do think that if President McCain goes forward with a $1.2 trillion tax increase in the name of saving the polar bears and the penguins, the Democrats will, of course, go along with it. And we'll get saddled with a colossal job-killing, industry-killing, China-helping transformation of the U.S. economy where any factory owner in his or her right mind says, I'm going to build a new addition in China or Mexico or Bolivia or someplace else because I don't want to spend the rest of my life getting hounded by Al Gore over whether or not there's CO2 coming out of this thing. It's such a catastrophe for the U.S. economy that is being pushed by the elites in both parties that I think that whoever gets elected president in 2008 is likely to push this elite global warming bill, and then worse, and the masses are going to have to rise up against it, just like they did with the immigration bill in the summer of 2007, where, Teddy Kennedy and John McCain and George Bush were arm in arm saying, yes, we're going to have this, we're going to have this. And fortunately, the ordinary people and, radio talk show hosts were a big part of this, mobilized to block it. I think we're going to need another one of those for an issue that, if anything, is just as serious as immigration.
So where does it go from here? What do you think is going to happen?
I think it's, Obama is so terrible. He's such a walking advertisement for Mother Jones magazine and NPR and Black Panthers and PLO and so on, that I think Obama may manage to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, as they say, in an incredibly strong Democratic year where the Democrats are likely to make big gains in Congress just because 82% of the country thinks we're going on the wrong track. And Bush has made so many mistakes. Obama, it just might yet manage to lose, in which case McCain, flaws and all, becomes the 44th president, which then puts a real burden on the conservative movement to say, okay, we got McCain elected, we didn't want Obama. Now we got to really fight inside the Republican Party in the 111th Congress to keep President McCain from just doing nothing but do deals with Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid over spending and taxes and global warming and God knows what else. So we're in a extremely difficult fight here, both in 2008 and then in 2009.
True.
I think that Obama will drive Hillary out of the race pretty quickly. I think then it becomes a real struggle to see whether the Bill and Hillary can force feed themselves onto the ticket with Obama. I wouldn't be surprised if they could, and that would, from a Democratic point of view, that would be a fairly strong ticket, Obama-Hillary. Then it's just, there's a big challenge for the vice presidency for, who McCain picks, because, of course, not only is it fun to be vice president, but it's especially fun to be vice president for a 72-year-old man. So that's a big struggle. I think the election is too close to call. There's a Zogby poll out that says Obama's up by 8. There's a lot of polls that show McCain ahead, especially in certain key states like Florida and Pennsylvania. And I think I even saw one where McCain was like almost even with Obama in Massachusetts. So it's hard to know what's going to happen. But I think a big factor in determining who the next president is will be these debates. The physical contrast between Obama and McCain, young, old, tall, short, black, white, will be pretty strong. And I think it'll have a lot to do with how the voters ultimately register their opinion come November.
Savage.
You're live with Michael Savage. So let's have some patriotic music, then we'll get into the callers on the program. It's like W.C. Fields. Now this is tinny. This I don't go for.
Johnny, get your gun, get your gun.
Oh, please. Come on, knock this off. I knew it was a joke you were playing on me. Let's get something really viscerally masculine and hairy up here. Come on. Ah, you're talking. Okay, the Washington Post, this is one of my favorites. Let me hear the Washington Post. Now you got the right number. That's what the audience wants to hear on Memorial Day weekend. In Boca Raton, it's Memorial Day weekend. Not Memorial Day, it's Memorial Day. I'll take your calls again at 1-800-449-8255. You can turn off the music. We got one unhappy character here. Bruce, WOR, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Well, what's on my mind is this, Michael.
You know, in a lot of different scenarios politically, I agree with you. Language, borders, cultures. I live in an area on Long Island where, in terms of certain people coming in from the border, they're infested. So, you know, my father was an immigrant, but I feel, and most of our forefathers were, I feel if you want to come into this country, you got to do it right. So I totally respect you in that area. But I think what's despicable here, Michael, okay, is that you're perpetuating hate, okay? As you know, there's a tremendous amount of hatred against Jews in this country. This whole country should know that Michael Savage is a Jew, correct?
What are you getting at? What are you worked up over? What's bothering you today?
Michael, are you Jewish or not?
What do you want me to do, drop my pants for you? Who do you think you are, you bum, you? What is it that you want? Are you upset? What are you upset that I called Woody Allen a self-hating Jew?
No, what I'm upset about is, as you know, Michael, there are people that hate Jews in this country. And by you taking the position, I'm familiar with the people that you're talking about, okay, that go to bar mitzvahs and go to things and I got special.
But what is it that upset you today? What are you so upset about? What did I actually say that bothered you?
What you're saying is that you're talking about these Boca Raton Jews, okay, and how they are and how they act, and that Obama, okay, and this other guy is getting up saying Lonsman and all this. People are misinterpreting Michael.
Well, what do you mean? Excuse me, my friend. I didn't say Obama's a Lonsman. This guy Jack got up and said you're a Lonsman, and I thought it was inappropriate and stupid. Why does that bother you?
Understand that, but you keep talking about the Jews almost in a negative light in terms of portraying them as you know, people that do certain negative things. They got to wear special things in their pocket because they take extra food. They got to do this. They got to do that. Why is he going?
Well, because you're talking about diehard socialist, left-wing Democrat people who happen to be of Jewish descent. They do have certain characteristics, and as a man who specializes in commenting on various social attributes of various groups and people, I don't think that they should be above the law, do you?
I don't think they should be above the law.
So what are you getting so excited about? I guess what happened is it was a little too truthful for you.
No, hey, listen, I'm a New York Jew, and I think
So what? So when I see Barack Obama going down and pandering to Jews in Century Village, there's something that makes me sick about it. And then when I hear this guy jack it up and say, you're a Lonsman, you know what that means? You're a brother. What, you think that's not nauseating?
It is nauseating, Michael. And
So you agree with me, so you're actually not mad at me, you're mad at the fact that it's nauseating.
No, what I mean...
Yeah, you're embarrassed that I exposed reality here. But remember, the show specializes in reality. What do you want me to do? Not do this?
No, all I'm saying to you, listen very clearly, because you're a very bright man. Okay?
I'm not very bright. I'm only an entertainer. That's all I am.
You're very bright, Michael, and you've heard it a million times, and maybe you don't want to hear it from me, but you're brilliant in a lot of different areas, and I love your position in certain ways. All I'm saying is simply this. When you talk about these quote-unquote Boca Raton Jews, and you talking about you're playing Jewish music and you're doing this, there are people salivating in this country that hate Jews, and I know you're not perpetuating the hate.
No, I'm not perpetuating the hate. I'm exposing a group of people who have certain characteristics without mocking them. I'm saying I don't happen to like it. Okay, let's go back to what I said. I said klezmer music is the music of pacifism and defeat. And I'll bet that offended you because it's true. Is that correct?
No, that is correct.
Hold it. Play this music. Play klezmer music so Bruce and I can have a conversation. Play it. All right, now let's stop. That music offends me. It offends me because anti-Semites who hate Jews say that that's Jewish music. Left-wingers who hate Jews and hate Israel say that's Jewish music when they know it's the music of the diaspora. It's the music of the disarmed pacifist Jew who could not defend himself or his family from the Cossacks, for example. Jewish music would be the national anthem of Israel. That would be Jewish music. to me. But you never hear that. And whenever the left wing wants to say, let's play Jewish music, see, there's a station here in the Bay Area that's a left-wing communist hater of Israel. And they'll, whenever they say, we'll play Jewish music, they play klezmer music because they know it's not Jewish music. Now, some may like it, but you got to understand the origin of this music. So I guess that offended you because it struck too close to home.
What offended me once again, Michael, is that when you were talking about these New York Boca Raton Jews and they get special pockets and they grab food and they do this, all I'm saying...
But it's true. A lot of them do, Bruce. You know it's true.
Michael, but you keep saying it over...
I have seen it done, Bruce. I've seen them go on to the early bird line and grab the salt and the pepper.
I agree with you, but you got...
No, sir. Yeah, but you're embarrassed by it is what it is. You're saying, shah, still, you hate. You're saying, don't say it. Don't let anyone know.
Not embarrassed with it. What my position is simply this. You have people salivating, the Jew haters in this country.
I have people who hate me, so what do you want me to do? Stop talking? Wait, let's start again. Yesterday, I bashed Kennedy's policies. So the people who hate me said that I bashed Kennedy and mocked his tumor when I never did that. Listen, radio is a strange business, Bruce. People can misinterpret or interpret anything you say in about 1,000 different ways, Bruce. If I offend thee, pluck it out. What can I say? When I heard that Barry Obama is doing Boca today, I said, this is made for me.
And I agree with you. I think that was sickening when this guy gets up and said, Lanzmann, and when you said, you know, what do you have to do to become president of the United States today to listen?
And
to
also, why does this Jewish guy, whoever he is, Jack, get up and say to Barack, you know what you are? You're a Lanzmann to me. You know what that is? A brother. Now, why would he say Lanzmann to Barack Obama? Why is he his brother?
Exactly. Makes absolutely zero minus zero.
But listen to me. That's being played all over the country. So when I play it and I interpret it for what it is, I show it for what it is, that this guy Jack is a man who's mocking himself and making a mishmash of his own people. Now, what I'm going to do for Bruce and everybody else who got worked up is do this, just so you know that it's not limited to a certain ethnic group. A couple of years ago, I think it was 2000, I was down in Florida during the election when remember the Butterfly Barrett ballot thing got mixed up? So I wrote a poem called Can of Worms, and I turned it into a sound poem, which I played about 5 times over 8 years. It's absolutely brilliant. It's one of the best things I've ever done. It's a piece of music, but you got to listen to the words. It's got humor. It's got depth. Listen to it. Play it. Can of worms.
38 states said yes to Bush. 12 states said yes to Gore. Are some states more equal than other states? South Florida, for example. The land of the New York Communistic Front. The millionaires grifting off the welfare state. Pretending to each other the moral indignation of the downtrodden. Acting with heads held high and jaws thrust out as victims of the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire. Lexus liberals with Volkswagens on their brains. Condo commies, lunchroom Lenins, stand-up Stalins, miserable Maos, pathetic Pol Pot Marxists using black street gangs as their body armor, stealing ballots, grifting SSI, faking disabilities, voting for Al Gore, all in a day's work, South Florida, the land of sunshine, schmoozing, and now stupidity. The whole world now knows New York Communist Democrats are too stupid to vote straight, but smart enough to twist the truth when their benefits are threatened. South Florida, the land of suntan Trotskys and delis, bypassed Bolsheviks and Buicks, air-conditioned chais and condos, loud, lewd losers in limbo, stuck between their investments and their liberalism, lost to their religion, fervent in their non-belief, save the DNC, their new religion, corned beef commies, buffet bolshies, jogging jokesters stuck in Camelot fantasies, Kennedy their last idol, a drunk, profligate warmonger covered for by his beautiful wife, Hillary, their personal Evita Perón, Bill, their shameless Shagets, Tipper, their tipsy donut, Al, their Shabbos Goy, South Florida, the land of sun and SOBs.
You got to admit that it's good. I mean, corned beef commies, come on, give me a break. Suntan Trotsky, I love the Buick I like. What was that? The bypass Bolshies and Buicks. Come on, it's good stuff. Give me a break here, Memorial Day. I don't need a break. I don't need a break. I don't need your break. I don't want anyone's break. When I was a kid trying to be a writer, I remember once I sent an article to some magazine, who knows what, and the editor rejects it. So I call him up, and I got him on the phone, and he was like a snotty punk, who knows what he was. So I said to him, oh, come on, give me a break. So he says to me, listen, kid, I'm not in the business of giving anyone a break. We're a professional organization. He was right. He didn't owe me a break, and you don't owe me a break. You got to take it as it falls. Now, that poem was done in 2000. What was it called? I forgot already. Did it have a name? Can of Worms. I don't know. It should be called Corned Beef Commies. It would be a better title. And I heard the same thing then when I did it. People said, oh, you're mocking this, you're mocking that. Actually, I'm just caricaturing with a, you know, instead of with a pen, drawing caricatures, I'm talking. And I understand that as the wheel turns and different groups get it, you like it. But when it comes around to your particular group, you don't like it. But I'm an equal opportunity caricature artist, and that's the way the wall crumbles. You know, what can I tell you? Yesterday it's Kennedy, today it's the corned beef, and tomorrow it's whatever. What do you want me to do? That's the name of the show. And I'm not going to apologize. I don't like liberalism. I don't like people who put liberalism above everything else, including their own religion and their own ethnicity. And I don't like people who wave their weakness around, particularly. Derek, WOR New York, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, in Hebrew, Yashir Koach means keep up the good work. I want to thank you for fighting the good fight and for telling the truth about Ted Kennedy's legacy, about Pat Buchanan, about the gay perversion lobby, about Islamofascism. And I want to thank you for reading the Bible. I'm
thank
a very
you.
Conservative Republican New Yorker, right-wing Jewish nationalist, who, like you, Michael, is repulsed by self-loathing Jewish liberals such as Woody Allen. And the
thank you. So you see what I see. You see the world through my eyes.
So I want to say one more thing, Mike. The first time I ever heard you, which was 3 or 4 years ago, you said something so profound. You said that the perverts and the liberals that hate America want to destroy the society that they could never fit into. And it is just so true. And if I
that they could never fit into. Correct. And then they will recreate the society in their own image. And tell everybody who is Bible-loving, God-loving, America-loving that they don't fit in, which is already what they've been doing. That's why they redefine marriage under a psychopathic definition.
Okay. Mike, one other thing on a non-political note, on a culinary note. My wife is a Sabra, a native-born Israeli whose parents emigrated from Kurdistan in northern Iraq. In fact, she speaks pure Aramaic. When I met her in Israel, she had never eaten lox, never eaten bagels, never had gefilte fish or pastrami. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because you're
no, it's because I said that that's not Jewish food. People say deli is Jewish food. I know it is. It's 19th century Polish holiday food. Jewish food, as I say, is Arabic food.
Exactly. In fact, most of the Jews in Israel, majority, are non-European, and they eat things like eggplant and artichokes and hummus and spices, more like Turkish food than the European food.
Absolutely, and they enjoy better cardiac health than do the people who stuff their faces with the fat and the salt and the sugar. I know that. Anyway, thank you for that wonderful statements. I really do mean that. When I come back, time is so short, we'll do something or other for this wonderful Memorial Day. And then we will, I guess, have to say sayonara until tomorrow. So let's go for it, friends, and then we'll be right back. Now, as you know, I've been talking about for a long time about media conglomeration and consolidation, mostly about Rupert Murdoch's mad rush to take over the American media and his overreaching. And I have criticized this over and over again, and our government is not stopping him. So today I'm attacked by one of his newspapers, the New York Post, by a gossip columnist who in page 6 said, listen to what this idiot wrote. He says, syndicated radio host Michael Savage may be the most inhumane human on the planet. Now, let's pause right there. In an age of terror, I'm more inhumane than Osama bin Laden. I'm more inhumane, Richard, than the people doing the murdering and torturing in Africa. I'm the most inhumane human on the planet. This passes for a newspaper owned by Rupert Murdoch. I may check this out with a lawyer, because I don't know that you can just say someone is the most inhumane human on the planet. He's mad at me because he picked up what Soros's minions did. I want to show you how deeply connected the media is. Here you have Media Matters funded by Soros, which you think is a left-wing front group. And they're picked up now by Murdoch's newspaper, the New York Post, to blast Michael Savage because I criticized Senator Ted Kennedy. Now, if that doesn't prove to you how the danger we are in with regard to media conglomeration and the cozy relationship between the so-called left and the so-called right, I don't know what might do it for you. But there's another note in this that you have to know about. The picture that they run of me in the New York Post of me with the glasses, the great picture of me that was on the front of my bestseller, The Savage Nation, has a little marking that says AP on the photo. They stole it from us. I own that picture. So now I have to act against the Associated Press, which has put their logo on my picture, which is owned by me, taken by my son on the back of a boat in San Francisco Bay. And they may have to look into seeing if I can sue the New York Post for saying that I'm the most inhumane human on the planet, because I think that there's a limit to what you can say about people. And I think this jerk, or whoever wrote this, went over the line. They may not like my politics, and they're entitled to do it. I don't like theirs. But in an age of terror, to say Michael Savage may be the most inhumane human on the planet, in an age of terror, in an age when people are cutting other people's heads off, torturing people, killing people by the thousands in Darfur, the torture chambers, for example, of Burma are still full. The cries are still screaming out from Castro's prisons, Syria's prisons, Iran's prisons, where they're hanging homosexuals. And this piece of garbage, Richard Johnson says to me, I'm the most inhumane human on the planet. Richard, I'll tell you something. You may have crossed the line here, baby. And we'll have to check it out. But in either case, that picture was stolen from us. You have no right to use it. Now, if I'm not for myself, who will be? If I'm only for myself, who am I? That was written a long time ago by a very brilliant Jewish teacher. And he said those things. I have to talk about myself because nobody else will. Of course, if I only talk about myself, then who am I? I'll become nothing more than the golfer. Stuffing my face with Kobe steak and saying that the oil industry is a reasonable industry who's simply pursuing market capitalism. And so that's why you have to be careful. If you only talk about yourself, what you become is a mockery of the word self. It's been great talking with you this afternoon and evening on The Savage Nation. All I can say is the poem If by Rudyard Kipling has particular meaning for me today and over the last days. I've been attacked by these numbskulls. When he wrote, if you can keep your head when all those about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you will be a man, my son, which is more I can say for these metrosexuals on page 6.
Savage.